we certainly see a lot of discussion and a lot of demagoguery, frankly, along class lines in modern-day America. Mark Twain famously labeled the 1880s as the Gilded Age. And if that was the Gilded Age, we have to come up with a new medium to describe what it is today.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you call it the Platinum Age, but I think that there's no question that we now have a separation of the middle class from the upper class that we really haven't seen since that the Gilded Age, where there's so much wealth concentrated in so few hands, and that the prospects for the middle class in America are probably fundamentally more challenging now than any time. Again, I think you have to go back to the 20s, even the 30s, to see something quite at this level.
And there are, look, this is a society that believes, at least, not maybe as strongly, but it's still there. We believe that you build a better mousetrap, people beat a path to your door, and through talent, luck, and effort, you should be able to keep the rewards, the fruit of your own labor. But we are seeing a super concentration of wealth, and the political problem here is that, and I'm speaking in the broadest generalities, the left will attack corporations as inherently evil. And increasingly, I mean, we saw this during these global warming protests in the streets where people were saying, end capitalism, save the earth, as if capitalism is inherently evil and the cause of the world's ills. And then on the other hand, you have reflexive conservative knee-jerk reaction to anything that's critical of business, including your statement that there's a super concentration of wealth in very few hands that we haven't seen since the Gilded Age. And they become defensive as if somehow you're advocating communism to even bring this up.
You see, the point in the new class conflict is the only way we deal with the situation is to make it as possible as we can for middle class people to own property, to have businesses, to have more control over their own lives. I don't know if that's considered socialism, then sign me up. I mean, basically, the direction we're in now is actually, I think, undermining the very logic of capitalism. If we have a capitalist system that the way it's constructed only benefits a very small number of people, its credibility will be gone, and you'll end up with what we have, you know, largely here in L.A., increasingly, which is a kind of crony capitalist system. There are, you know, the people who do well are those who can work with the political structures, and the average small business entrepreneur type, the professional just gets taxed into oblivion, and in many cases decides to move their business or their assets somewhere else.
Talking with Joel Kotkin, the book is called The New Class Conflict, and it is available as of September 1st. It's available in Kindle book version and hardcover, and it's published by Telos Press Publishing. We see this in local politics. We don't even have to go to Washington to see this. And we just saw a perfect example of it. The city of Los Angeles, the city council, decided to artificially inflate the wages of workers for large hotels to $15.37 an hour. And their argument is that this is somehow going to balance the equation between the 1%, I guess, and the great unwashed masses. But they do so by playing the essentially by just saying big companies can afford it, period.
Well, and I think the problem is that why do we have to have this concentration on really the bottom, the more bottom part of the labor spectrum? And that's because we have an economy that doesn't generate enough really decent middle-class jobs, and so the only way to get the wages up is to do it artificially. Now, there are arguments to for and against, but I think that if you look at, for instance, let's have a higher minimum wage for McDonald's, and I understand why people would say that, but the key thing is those jobs in a healthy capitalist system are really there for entry-level people, for kids. Now, we have a situation which I think was never anticipated, in which working at a fast food restaurant becomes a permanent way of making a living. That was never really anticipated. And so I think that what we have is we have a system which creates enormous wealth for a handful of people in Silicon Valley and Wall Street in particular, those two places, which are both fairly friendly to the current administration, and provides very, very little or very limited opportunities for people to make a living that would be, you know, what be more of a family living wage. You don't get that because you don't have the economic growth to drive it. And then when you add in a state like California, you know, very strict environmental laws, very expensive policies vis-a-vis housing, you end up with a squeeze on the middle class that is actually more extreme than it is in the rest
of the country. Well, and you also have to add into California millions, literally millions with an M, of illegal aliens who live in the state, who drive down the wages for working people, who take, for instance, jobs that kids used to do in the summer. Now they become full-time jobs. And, of course, the social welfare cost of supporting the needs of a population that needs everything because they come here with nothing is on the backs of middle-class workers and families, and a lot of them now are voting with their feet and moving out of the state. These are all, it's a complicated issue. And what is the corrective? That's the issue here now, is how do we restore the great engine of middle-class job creation in the United States? You can read Joel Kotkin's work every, you know, all the time in the opinion pages of the Orange County Register. And to get the newspaper delivered and receive full digital access, visit ocregister.com/subscribe. The book is called The New Class Conflict. Joel Kotkin, thank you so much, sir.